is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
So Larry Ringland from Ironstone and Robin Redinger. She is a registered arborist.
Certified arborist.
Yeah. Certified arborist. She works for Larry. So this is about...
We work together.
Yes, so they're here to talk about Ironstone and the beautiful grounds and some of the history, and we need to ask lots of questions.
Yes.
So ask lots of questions. These guys are amazingly knowledgeable, so let's test them. All right.
So thank you for asking me. It's kind of fun to come out and share information. I'm not a very good speaker, so you'll have to put up with that.
No.
Since you guys probably know as much about gardening as I do, I brought this presentation from a presentation I did for the National Daffodil Association about Ironstone Winery and how it started and how it progressed and so on and so forth. So, but at any given time, please stop me and ask me questions or wait till the end and ask questions. I have a head full of information, but you have to do something to spark that information to pull it out of my head. So I started on the project in 1987, and this actually is in 1987. I don't know if the people are important. This was actually the engineer that designed the winery, and then we have our winemaker, and then we have the guy right there that dug our caves. We have 10,000 square feet underground where we store our wine barrels. So we're just there kicking the dirt and deciding the best place to build the winery. We were looking for a very specific thing, and that was the type of ground and rock that was underneath. So in 1987, I dug about 100 holes as deep as I could dig them all over this area that we chose, and until they found where they found the rock that they could dig caves and things like that. So that's how the area got decided.
Larry?
Yes.
What kind of rock is that there?
Schist. There's several different types of rock. There's limestone, quartz, schist, and what I call field stone. It's actually mud flow. You might call it moss rock or something like that. But when moss rock's on top, it looks real pretty for the garden and stuff. When you dig it up, it's just a solid layer of something that looks like concrete. So the whole winery area is plumb full of different types of rock, and the soil isn't really, really deep. In fact, one of the parking lots we'll see in a while is all rhyolite. So when you have rhyolite underground, the water travels on the rhyolite. So any place you plant something, it might do real well until the roots get down to where the rhyolite is, and then it drowns out. And that's what I'm experiencing a little bit now. In the future, things you just got to play that game. So this is actually...
Larry, how did you choose that property?
We chose the property, wasn't it? Mrs. Kautz is... John and Gail Kautz are the owners. So John's wife, Gail, she was raised on this property. And we decided we wanted a processing place for our extra grapes. And Kramer, who owned the property, decided he was going to sell the property. And John just bought it for Gail because... That's her favorite place in the world, is Murphy's. So that's how we ended up there. Of course, now it's expensive to bring the grapes up and send it down, and the whole ball game is different now. So we try to do everything that we do right there at Ironstone Winery. We also have another winery in Lodi that has 20.5 million gallons of wine, and we farm 7,000 acres of grapes. So it's a pretty big operation at Ironstone. Started out as a small processing place, but John decided it had to be making money, more money, in order to keep up with this. So we started doing, in fact, we did our first wedding for his son before there was anything, any gardens or anything. We just did on the field. And after that, we had weddings all the time. People just wanted to get married. Just a natural place for it. Now there's places everywhere to get married. So anyway, this is actually where the parking lot is and the library part. That's what it used to look like. And the cool thing about this area, and this will explain a lot of the things about the oak trees around the facility, is this was all irrigated pasture for cows for years and years and years and years. So the oak trees that are on the property were really, really used to being irrigated. So if, you know, the theory is if you do something around an oak tree that it's not used to, and what happens, and let me say one thing. Anything that comes out of my mouth is stuff that I've either learned on my own, I've been taught by somebody. So you guys might have a whole different idea, and I'm all in for a discussion about anything that we do that's weird. Now, at UC Davis, I went to a course one time on oak trees, and basically why oak trees don't do well with water is two reasons. One, there's a disease down deep, and if it gets wet, it activates, especially in the summertime. It won't activate in the winter because it's cold, okay? And the other thing that happens is if you start irrigating around a big oak tree, the lower roots die out and the upper roots spread out. Well, when you have a head of a white oak that's gigantic and a little tiny root base, it's living because it's got everything it needs, fertilizer and water. It just topples over. Yeah. It can't handle that kind of change. Mm-hmm. So we're very fortunate. We actually only took out two oak trees when we built the building. I have now changed that because some of them became dangerous and some of them were not allowing other ones to grow. So I thinned them out and did some things. So some of the oak trees I removed. Everybody knows it takes 100 years for an oak tree to grow and 300 years for them to die. You never know when that 300 years is up. Okay, this is where we first started. You know, this is just showing you that the process of what it looked like before there was an actual winery. Wow. And we actually, that's okay, you don't have to go back. Anyway, we actually cut down. I don't know if you folks have been, everybody been to the winery, but we have a wedding park, and there's a lake at the far end that I built years and years and years ago. But from the wedding park lake all the way to the winery, we flattened this area out, which involves a lot of drilling and blasting because it's so much rock. So we did most of the work ourselves. This is another.
I have a question.
Yes.
Where do you get the water for the lake? Is there a spring there or something?
The ag water, Murphy's Ag Water.
Oh.
And what I do is we have a lake that nobody sees, and I run the water in that lake to keep that lake clean. And then I have a valve that I very carefully control a valve to keep the water at the highest level I can. But we pump out about 3 inches of water out of our wedding park lake. That's where my irrigation pumps are. So we pump out about 3 inches of water every night. Yep. And it's 2.5 acre lake. So
yes.
Later on we'll talk about how the mistakes I made in the irrigation systems, because there's a lot of them. So this is just another area that we literally blasted out. So that's, you can see that's a 25 foot cut. You can tell this a long time ago, look how skinny I am. look at them sideburns. This area right here, that's where the caves are. And the first thing we did was make a 60 foot cut on the mountain, and then we put concrete on. It's called shotcrete. We just take a hose and reinforce it, and then we just shot it. And that's how they started the whole process.
Is that Johnny Gale?
No, that's my in-laws.
Okay.
Of course, here's the building being built. This is the tunnel over there. We call that our breezeway. It goes underneath the building. And the caves are actually under this end of the building.
That building, 7 stories tall, right?
7 stories, yes. So this is what we call the breezeway. Now it doesn't look like this, but this was the wall we did, and then we started tunneling here. We have a 200-foot tunnel here and a 200-foot tunnel there, and then 460-foot cross tunnels, which will hold about 2,000 barrels of wine at any given time. But now we use one tunnel mostly for parties and stuff like that. So this is just another picture of the winery. You can see this is all landscape now. This would be the entrance where the tasting room, that's the tasting room right there. So this is all landscape now. Just about everything, about all the plants you see around the winery, with the exception of the really large white oaks and the really, really skinny live oaks, we planted. This is just another picture. This is the breezeway before anything was done with it. That's our wedding lake down there. And the tasting room's up here again. So another picture of the breezeway. That's the inside of what we call our old museum. That was always going to be another party place for weddings and stuff like that. We have elevators and different things that pull it all together. And then John decided to use it as a collection place for his antiques. So now it's a room plumb full of stuff.
It's a stuff collector, yeah.
This is the tunnel that goes into the breezeway. Our main lower parking lot is where all those trees and stuff are that you see. And most all of them are there. They're just in planter boxes, and they're actually surviving because they're under the same conditions that we put big planter boxes around them, not to directly inhibit the roots. Mostly they're all there. We haven't lost any of them. That's Mr. Couts there. We're discussing how we're going to do the landscaping inside the breezeway, because he knew that even though it was going to be a work area, we were also going to do parties and stuff like that in there, which has worked out really good because it's so nice in the times when it rains that we actually set the walls are landscaped already, but we have 100 barrel trees. And we set them all around the inside to make inside garden, and we can do that any way the bride or whoever wants to have a party wants it. So we're constantly moving plants around all the time. That's just them in front of the.
And you've got working waterfalls in the cave too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That and actually. A stage.
Huh?
And mm-hmm. a stage.
Yeah, there's three waterfalls outside and one waterfall inside. The inside waterfall actually was a spring. And that spring flows underground. It goes into a French drain that I made, and we capture that water. So this is just an example of how we shotcreted. That's when they dug the caves, they would only advance 6 to 8 feet every time they drilled and blast. And we did that twice a day. We actually hired our own mining guys. And then after 25 feet of digging, then they would reinforce it. Because schist, I don't know if you know anything about schist, but it's like shale. And oxygen gets to it, it separates and the dirt falls out, and then big chunks of rock will fall on you. So we had to reinforce it, and then we shot 4 inches of concrete on the walls. And when we were all done, we put 8 more inches on the walls. And these doors are replicas of Scotty Castle doors. We went down and took templates off of there. And it's all 100-year-old, well, it's older than that now, but it's all clear heart redwood out of the tanks that, it's all recycled, it's grape tanks out of the D'Augustine Winery. So that's all clear heart redwood worth probably $12 a foot. In fact, when we took it down to have it milled, we had to have two trucks, one to unload the wood, one guy to guard, and the other guy to load the wood on the truck because it would disappear like that. So we had to protect it pretty good.
And isn't it where they got the sound of Casper the Friendly Ghost?
Oh, it is, actually, yeah. They come in squeaky doors, as in the movie. So now you see what we did afterwards. We were trying to not make it look exactly like rock, but emulate it. We did this relatively cheap, just to do one side of this. The guy that did Walt Disney wanted $100,000 just to do the one side. We probably did the whole face for around $5,000. At that time, because concrete was so cheap. So we had to learn how to spray concrete. This is inside the caves. Now, plants actually, at the end of the 200-foot tunnel, I've actually grown plants in there. There's something called baby breath? Or
baby
it's a little tiny white flower they use.
Baby tears. Oh.
Baby tears.
Well, we did a wedding in there, and they hung those things next to the waterfall. Mm-hmm. Well, I left them there to see what would happen, and they actually grew there. The biggest problem is there's a lot of humidity in there, and then they started getting kind of that moldy-looking gray stuff, and then I pulled them out. But they actually, there was enough light in there through the, I have a light over the waterfall, so there was enough light that those little guys would grow pretty good, actually. So, and that's before, this is a big waterfall, it's a 32-foot waterfall now.
Yeah.
And then we have a 20-foot waterfall on that side, and at the far end, we have another 20-foot waterfall. So that was all shot, and then we put baskets, figured out how to put baskets and moss and dirt and so on and so forth. That's an aerial view of the winery itself. So the winery is actually 14.5 acres of gardens, and that includes the in the parking lots, the big areas that we planted between the cars and stuff like that. John wanted to try to keep it as nice as possible. This is the amphitheater not when we first started it, but after we had terraced it, we actually terraced it. Now this all used to be apple trees. All this was apple trees. And one day John says, well, because when he bought the ranch, he always told me this was an amphitheater when it was just a field. He says, all we have to do is build a road. This guy's really smart.
Mm-hmm.
He says, all we have to do is build a road here and it becomes a really good amphitheater. So when we started to do it, we built that road, which made it a bowl. And then the original idea was to terrace it or to run it backwards. And John said, well, that's not going to work because the stage is 5 feet tall. So we went ahead and terraced it like that and then turfed it and different things. And we've got to alter it now a couple times because as the winery progresses and the concerts get bigger and the public gets more, we have to do some adjusting and change the size of the stage and different things like that. This right on our first concert, we didn't have that roof on there, and Jewel was coming, and she in her rider, she said, "You can't, no rain could hit me." So they needed to do a roof, and they kept pricing roofs, and then real close to the time when it was going to happen, I told them, I says, "For $300, I could build a roof on that, just for the material, you know."
What? When was the first concert? What year was that? Do you remember?
Well, our first big concert.
Any concert.
Oh, first concert we had was in the park. It was a blues guy that now you can't afford to have him.
Yeah.
But we used to do concerts in the park all the time for around 100-150 people.
For the amphitheater.
That was the Russian National Orchestra, yeah, wasn't it?
That was one of our first ones.
Yeah. With the Russian Orchestra?
Yeah, we had 600 people
came
to
that.
So, but anyway, that's how it progresses. In this area, this is right after we planted it. This is the area between the lake and the Ironstone name and the part of the amphitheater is part of that. This is a big mound. And then we have a road that goes down there, and that's what it looked like right after we planted it. And that was hard.
Do you guys see the ironstones back there?
Yeah. The rule of thumb is you're supposed to dig a pretty big hole to plant a plant. Well, that ground was so stinking hard, it was all I could do to get enough hole to plant it. And all the plants that we planted, for a whole year, John and I went to auctions. We bought no plants.
That's right.
We went to all sorts of big nurseries. At that time, there's a lot of housing problems and stuff, and then big nurseries were starting to fail. So we went to all these auctions, and we bought one of the largest Northern California nurseries called Okai Nursery. We bought a big chunk of their plants. It took us 3 weeks, 7 days a week with three trucks with sets of doubles to haul them. And then we still didn't get everything out before they locked us out. And we were just chucking them like this. There was, at first we were really careful, and after that we just were like, but he bought 100,000 azaleas for 5 cents a piece.
Wow.
Gallon azaleas. Wow. Well, you had to buy 100,000. So this is again, you know, what it looked like when we first planted it. Mm-hmm. Now it looks nothing like that.
Nothing.
Now that oak tree, back up one.
Oops.
There we go, this oak tree right here. Okay, we had to build, the county told us we had to build a bathroom in the breezeway after they told us we didn't have to, but I'm glad they did because, man, it gets used. But that oak tree right there, that's right on the edge of the back of the bathroom. And John said, don't cut it, don't cut it. I said, well, it's going to die anyway. And so I took 50% of that root ball off that oak tree. And that still looks like that now.
Yeah.
So you could get away with doing some things that you don't think you can. There's just some more what the planting looked like. This was pre-building walls, rock walls. And that's the bottom lower parking lot before we graveled it and made planters.
And no wisteria?
Stuff. No, nothing.
No wisteria.
Just another. This is the wedding lake. Now, originally, that was half the size it was. I built that. I dug that pond because we were irrigating pasture for the cows. And when the county gave us the permit for the building, at that time, it was, besides Camp 9, it was probably one of the biggest projects the county had ever seen. And the city didn't have enough water to supply fire protection. So the only way we got away with it is I had to triple the size of the lake and dig at a certain depth, and then that gave us the gallons of water that we needed to protect the building. And then we had to build our own fire station, which is one of my pump stations, but it's a big diesel fire pump that when the power goes out, it kicks on, and if something happens, it's puts out a fire. And that's what the amphitheater looks now. That's just one of the events we had there one time. This was a Walt Gray run for Make-A-Wish. That's our car show we do every year. So the garden's
years
being
ago.
Commercial, it's a little challenge compared to your yard or doing somebody else's yard, because people that come there, they love it, but they abuse it, and they don't care. It doesn't matter to them because they're just there having a good time, and when they go, it doesn't matter. So this is something that Robin and I and the crew has to contend with all the time. And the more and more events that start to happen, sometimes you have three concerts in a row, but you know you have to irrigate, but you can't. And then 3 days go by and you have a wedding or something. So it's a tricky business to do what you have to keep it looking like this.
And Larry doesn't like people driving on the lawn, so this is his
favorite. That's the one time a year you can drive. You want to drive on my lawn, come up during the car show. Other than that, I chase you.
Yeah.
He does.
This was a local craft show that was there. So this is just the front entrance, what it used to look like. In fact, my guys just went through this whole area and trimmed all the blackberries and all the plants on the backside of this little creek right here. This is a drain ditch right here that goes through. There's a culvert there, and it goes all the way. It's about 2,800 feet of a drain ditch, and we just went through and cleaned it all up, which took some time. And this is our main entrance, what it looked like. We did all the rock work. I had a guy by the name of Harry Williams helping us, and he taught us how to lay rock.
And it's all from on the property.
Yeah. Either Camp 9 area or for years before the winery was even built, John gave everybody in Murphy's my phone number, and we had a bobtail and a forklift. And they said, if you have any rocks on your property that are in your way, we'll be glad to come get them. So we went, they called me Crazy Larry because I would go and dig up their rocks and clean up their place and haul them off, and we had just stacks and stacks of limestone. Well, now they see what we did with them. But,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we got a lot of the rocks from Murphy's for free. Probably have about $4 million worth of rocks if you had to purchase them. The largest rock, I have a photo of it here, the largest rock we moved was 14 and a half tons.
Wow.
And this is just part of the design. That was supposed to be upside down, and we put it upside down, and us dummy guys didn't like the looks of it, so we flipped it over, and the guy that decided how it should look, he got mad. we already had it nailed down. So and then John thought it looked like a trestle, so we put the door carts up there.
Yeah, that's good.
This is when we were building, we had a building down in Murphy's, and we built this water wheel down there in the winter one time. We had to get up at 3 in the morning to take it through town because it's, I don't know, it's like 20-some feet wide, and we put it on the low bed and went right down Main Street.
Wow.
So is that the one that's out there now?
That's, it's right there.
Yeah.
John just wanted to make this a mining area, because the whole place is a mining thing. Mm-hmm. So this is us setting rocks. This gentleman right here, his name is Don Bose. He's now not with us anymore. And he was a really super, super well-known golf course designer. Well, something went on in his life, and he ended up in Murphy's. And we met him through a friend of a friend, and he needed work real bad. So John says, I'll pay you so much money for 10 hours a month. And his job was to come out and throw his hands around like this, and we'd sit there with napkins and draw little pictures, and he came up with the concept of what needed to be done. The problem with him is everything he wants to do costs an arm and a leg, and everybody knows when you're gardening, it ain't cheap.
Right.
So it was my job to cut through the expensive stuff and change his designs a little bit. I coordinate with him, but it was a pleasure to work with him. He taught me an awful lot about colors and textures and how rocks should be placed in your yard that look natural rather than just plump there and stuff like that. So those are 3,000 pound rocks. So we learned pretty fast on how to chain them up and adjust them. And of course, they never go the way you want them. You always want a little to the left, a little to the right. But after you do it and you bury it a little bit, then you see the advantage of this. So we have a lot of rockscaping. And this right here is an actual quartz vein. That's what the miners in the area were looking for. Now, this quartz vein goes all the way through the whole parking lot and right through the lake. There's no gold in it, unfortunately. But at the end of this, there was a little rock right about in that area right there. I have a picture of it. It was about this far out of the ground, quartz rock. And at that time, we were saving every bit of rock that we got out of the caves, off the property, quartz rocks. So one day John went over there and goes, I want you to get that rock right there. So I took the backhoe over there and I started digging. Well, it turned out to be probably about a 14-foot high quartz boulder, 14 and a half tons. We had to get a 60-ton crane to move it. This is a rock that came out of the Sonora mine. That's the one. The gold nugget sets on top of it now. It's a senior moment. I'll have to think of where it's green. It's quartz, but it's got green in it. Mariposite. So anyway, that's how we brought it in. It weighs 3,000 pounds. This is the vault where the gold nugget is. So we brought it in, and then I built the A-frame to lift it off and place it in where the gold nugget is now. So we learned to handle very heavy rocks without killing ourselves too bad. So that in itself is interesting. This is the front tasting room entrance to it, and that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like now. So,
nice.
And we put in probably in the wintertime 150 flats of flowers, and in the springtime probably 200 to 300 flats of flowers. So.
You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. I'm Linda Reevely. Thank you for being with us. If you would like to contact us for more information, remember you can contact our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912, or you can look us up on the kaad-lp.org website. Look for Over the Garden Gate. Thank you.